Good evening. Welcome to the episode of the Under Helmet podcast. Normally in semi-pro arena global football, we talk to all sorts of people. Today, I am pleased to be joined by members of the Utah Falcons, Lacey, Tina, Gina, Michelle, Sarah, and Coach Lynch. Ladies and coach, good evening. How are you guys?
Doing well. How are you?
Not bad, not bad.
Pretty good, pretty good.
Now, first questions for Tina. Tina, I hear that you are the engine of that entire defense. What is it about your playing style, your approach to everything that makes the team kind of gravitate to you and you are able to lead?
I want to say probably it's my fearless, just being fearless, not really. I mean, I accept anything from any opponent. If you want to come and bring it to our field, or we bring it to yours, it don't matter. We're coming to take over, and we'll give it our all, our 100, when it's game day.
Now, Michelle, as a defensive lineman, what's it like playing for Coach Lynch?
That's a great question. This is honestly only my second year playing football, but it has been like a complete 180 from what my experience was on D-line last year. I have like a lot more confidence. He like commands respect. So that's something as a coach that I really value, because we don't have a lot of confusion. We don't have a lot of extra questions being asked. Everybody just knows their responsibility. They know their role. And we just do what needs to be done, and it's because of Coach D for sure.
Lacey, as an outside linebacker, what's it like having such a strong defensive front in front of you?
Oh, that makes it so much more fun for me. I just get to run through and make some plays. But no, it's awesome. Michelle, Tina, a few others on the line make it a lot easier to do my job, and just the trust that we have is huge as well, because if you don't have that trust, you try to start doing other people's jobs, and then the whole defense breaks down.
Sarah, as a quarterback, when you look at the defensive unit that you have, knowing that they're probably going to either try to pitch a shutout or be able to keep the team under 14, 16 points, what was it like to go into an offensive huddle after the defense forces a turnover?
Oh, after a turnover, it's great. It probably means great field position. It really gives us a lot more flexibility from a playbook standpoint of what plays we can call based upon field position. And honestly, as a quarterback, it also allows us to just play our game, because we trust the defense 100%.
Gina, what's it like in practice going up against a defensive front where you know there's going to be physical contact?
That's a great question, actually. It actually kind of gets us pumped up. We know our defense is like the top of the line, so going against them just makes us better. It makes us try harder, compete harder, hit harder. It definitely all in all makes us better players going up against our own defense.
Coach Lynch, what's it been like to go from coaching the Men of the Revolution to coaching the Falcons? What's been the transition like for you?
You on mute, coach.
Coach, you're on mute.
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
No, at first it kind of had the feeling of a square peg in a round hole just because it was foreign. It wasn't something that I was against. In fact, it was something I tried to push a few years ago. But honestly, difference wise, I don't see that it's much different. At least I don't approach it different as far as mentality goes. I think what it brings is as from a coach's standpoint, it makes it a little bit easier because we don't have to unravel a lot of bad habits, so to speak. And these ladies are eager. They've actually had me go into my catalog and get more stuff out for them because they go and they keep going, and they have a knack to want to learn and want to be great, and that's as you know that's something that we always pushed with the other team, And they kind of already had it, so it was a pretty easy transition once we got in.
Now, Michelle, you said it's your second year playing. What brought you to football?
Okay, so I was going through a pretty rough time. It's a pretty funny story, actually. I'm not going to tell it on here. But I actually was living in the same condos as AJ Roby, and her and a few other football girlies were together one night, including one of our D-line, Renica. And we were like out on her balcony and having a good time, and they saw me and invited me upstairs. I stayed at her house until 6 a.m. just laughing and talking, and they told me that they play football, and I was done from there. I was it. And then what kept me there was the fact that living here in Utah, being from New Orleans, and being used to like that family environment everywhere you go, I didn't have that here for about 3 years living out here. And I found the Falcons found me, is what I like to say. Just in time, because I was really going through a lot. They scooped me up, and I've been a part of it ever since. And I just didn't know that I would love hitting people so much.
Follow-up question, Michelle. What was it like for that first practice when you put the pads and helmet on?
Honestly, it was a little scary. I was a little more timid. I'm a pretty, large woman. I've always been naturally strong, but I was afraid of being injured, afraid of being hurt. I do have three children and I have to keep going for it. So I'm like, I was definitely holding back a lot, but I was very excited once I was like able to actually feel what it was like to hit something and do it in a manner where we're not actually hurting other people, we're not hurting ourselves. It was therapeutic, I'll say that.
Now, Tina, what was your path to the game of football? How'd you find it? Oh, think you're still on mute, Tina.
It's the little microphone, Tina, with the little slash on it.
Okay. Can y'all hear me now?
Yes.
So I used to play rugby. I was recruited at a rugby tournament that was happening here in Utah. And it was from a team way back in the days that we don't really like to speak about, but fortunately, he introduced me to football. And but I've always played football with my brothers, street football and things like that. But I was currently playing rugby, and one of the coaches came and scouted me out through there, and then it just never stopped from there. Although rugby is my main sport, but football has also grown on me as well.
Now, Lacey, how did you find your way to the game?
So I'm similar to Michelle. I moved to Utah. I didn't know anyone, and I was really just looking for it's called Beehive out here, but just like intramurals, and randomly found the Falcons via Google search. Showed up one day, and then it was snowing, freezing. It was like second practice of the season. Didn't have anything to wear, and like one person was like, "Here's my gloves, take those." Someone else was like, "Here's a jersey, take them." And at the end, I tried to give them back, and they're like, "No, just bring them back on Thursday." And I literally came home to my husband, and I was like, "I guess I play now. Like, I guess I'm on this team." And that was 5 years ago, so it was great.
Gina, how did you find your way into the game?
So growing up, I always wanted to play football. And I remember telling my mom and dad all the time, like, let me play football. And they're always like, you're too small. I'm not a very big person. I'm actually pretty small. But they always told me, like, you're too small to play with the boys. Like, girls don't play with boys. And so when I turned 18, I had Googled women's football. I was like, there has to be something out there. So I Googled women's football, and it brought up a prior team called the Utah Jinx. So I kind of started looking into the Utah Jinx, and they actually had tryouts like a couple days later. And so I went to tryouts, showed up there, made the team, and played with them for a season. And then from the Jinx, the Falcons were made a team and just continued playing with them.
Sarah, what was your path to the game?
My path is a little different. I was never very athletic growing up. I was the kid with like a lot of heart, but the execution and the athleticism wasn't quite there yet. I was a little bit of a late bloomer, but I was at Weber State University out here, and one of the girls came in and she was Southern. She's like, "Hey, y'all, if any of y'all interested, I play women's tackle football." So of course it makes my head turn, and it's like, what do you mean? Because back in the day it was either lingerie or flag. And she's like, "Nope, it's full pads, full tackle." So I came out to practice, and similar to Lacey, fell in love and never looked back.
Coach, how have you managed to bring your background as a player and as a coach, and especially growing up in New Orleans, how have you been managed to bring that attitude to the team?
It's fairly easy, because I am who I am. I just it is what it is. I can't change it. I've been around this game long enough to understand that the closest thing to progress is being real. And the easiest way to move the buck is to know where you came from. So I stay true to my roots, and football is football. It doesn't change regardless of gender. So again, I approached it no different regardless. I didn't look at these ladies and gauge them because they were female. I came in and recognized that they had a goal, and our job was to come in and ensure that we could get that goal. So that's made it pretty simple to kind of attack.
Exactly. Tina, when you look at the, I know you play rugby too, but being able to transition from rugby to football back to rugby, and this kind of going back and forth, what's your favorite part about those sports?
Being able to hit somebody.
There it is. There it
Legally. I mean, I'm an angry
is.
person. I'm an angry person, and both sports really contributed to keeping me out of jail or prison. And so just that ability to just go out on the field and just let it all out for a couple hours or whatnot. And then, pick them up when you put them in the ground, and then, make some really good friendships throughout that time. I mean, that's amazing. There's nothing better than being able to hit each other and then call each other sis or bro or whatever, and do great things in the process. So.
Playing for the Falcons, Tina, and being Polynesian, member of the Polynesian community, how is that? Have you seen more people ask you about playing, or fans, or just different? Like, what is the general vibe around you being a representative of your community on the field?
Oh yeah. This is the first time in all of Falcon years, or all the years that I've played football, that I've seen so many Polynesian females come into and play football. One, because in our culture, we're not supposed to be playing with the boys at all. We're not even supposed to be in the watching movies with our brothers and things like that. We're just separate, but it's great to see that we're evolving, and we are, we're not sticking to that one traditional or cultural norm. That I see a lot more Polynesian women coming out, and it makes them happy. And it is still a struggle for some of them. I think for their husbands or some even their parents, but they're still reaching out for that, and I'm super proud of that.
Lacey, when you look at the, I guess the first aspect is the dealing with the detractors, people who always have something smart to say about a woman playing football. How do you answer a man who has something that's smart to say to you?
I mean, I usually just laugh and maybe like throw our record out there because it's probably better than any record on a team they've ever been on. But that's a good question too, because I'm similar to Gina. I'm a very small, don't necessarily look like the most athletic person. But yeah, I mean, I kind of just throw out there what we do, and throw a clip out there if they want to watch it. We have some great clips, or invite them to a game, because arguably it's better than some of the games a lot of the men are playing as well.
Now, Michelle, you mentioned being a taller person. You've hardly had to deal with people with something smart to say about you playing. How do you deal with the critics?
Honestly, I don't get people saying things smart to me very often. I'm not gonna lie. I don't have to deal with it.
She has
I just don't have to deal with it. Most people,
that
I'm not being cocky or anything. Most people just don't want to mess with me. So I haven't gotten that yet. I'll let you know when I do.
is. Now, Gina, being like you said, being a smaller person, how have you answered the critics who say that you're too small to play?
I just really add, like, just ask a question back. Like, have you ever seen, like, seen us play, seen any clips, seen highlight videos? I do this Lacey, throw out a record. I'll pull up some of my own clips right there. I have a bunch on my phone. I come to watch, and they're usually 90% of the time, like, super impressed. And, like, we're gonna have to come to a game. We're gonna have to come check you guys out. Like, we didn't think that's what it was gonna be like. So just kind of, I feel like people start critiquing you because they don't necessarily know what it is, especially in Utah. It's a sport that's like, it's not very big. I can go anytime I go somewhere in my football gear, people are like, football, and like they've never heard of the team. So Utah's definitely, we need to start growing that out here for sure.
Sarah, when you have somebody, especially a man, come up and say something smart, how do you tend to counter
Just speak football from a technical aspect, especially our offense. We run like triple, and that's a very complex offense with multiple, obviously, options and schemes. And so when I speak at a technical level, they nod, they get it. Sometimes more so than what they were even ready for.
When we come back from break, I want to discuss the season and kind of discuss the vibe on the team and kind of your hopes and where you see this team going. But that's after a break. You're listening to the Under the Helmet podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back on the podcast here in space with members of Utah Falcons. Now, Tina, when it comes to this season, especially in the first couple of games where the defense has been just destroying people. Can you tell early on by looking at the opponent's eyes that they don't have it?
Yeah, I can. And if they thought they had it, they realize in the next couple seconds before that ball is hiked that yeah, they forgot it somewhere on the other side of the field. Because when you go up against our D line, and shout out to our coaches, Coach D is, I mean, he's really brought a lot of knowledge and a lot of confidence to our D line and also our linebackers. I haven't played linebacker in, I want to say like 4 or 5 years. I usually play D end or fullback, but we trust Coach D, and when he speaks, we know it. And so when everybody else comes on the field, yeah, we know, they know that we know. And so yeah, it's hard to get away from that and to have to go up against a defense that knows what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and how powerful they're going to bring it. So
Follow-up question, Tina. Have you hit anybody so far this year that they made that sound of air leaving a balloon?
yes
A few.
yes
Can you remember one of the times, like one time that sticks in your mind, like, oh, I hit her and she might not get up for a while?
Let's see. Just I think the most recent one was the LA game. She one of the running backs, she cut or she broke up like a few of our tackles, and then I just came and cleaned it up, and she didn't realize that I was coming. And yeah, she I heard her soul leave and come right back in that hit. That's my aim. I mean, that's my goal. We have to leave an impression when we say hello to people. So
Lacey, have you had that one moment yet where you have drawn a bead on someone you know they're about to feel something that they haven't felt ever?
I'm gonna say no, not yet. So this is my first year playing defense. And it is so much more fun than offense. Sorry, Gina and Sarah.
Yeah.
I've been on offense the first 4 years, and yes, I've only played a couple of defensive games, but I'm ready for it. I'm ready to feel that. Yeah, much more fun than offense.
Michelle, playing on the defensive line, just kind of similar question to Tina. There's like I have one for Tina, but similar to you. Can you look at an opponent right before the game starts or right before the first snap and look in their eyes and say, this is going to be rough for them?
Yes, I can. It's normally in the eyes, in the body language, how far back from the line they are. If they ain't ready, you can see it on, you can see it all over them. And I'm sorry for them.
Gina, being
Lunch.
a lunch, being a smaller running back, I know people will try to not think that you will have the ability to run them over. Have you run somebody over recently, and what did that feel like to be able to just to run over the top of someone?
Actually, I'm small but really shifty, so I'm able to break a lot of tackles. I wouldn't necessarily run someone over, but if I know someone's coming, I'm definitely lowering my shoulder with them. I'm not just gonna take the hit because of my size, and I'm not scared to get hit either. But I'd say I'm definitely a lot more shifty, able to break tackles, spin moves, kind of get away. I'm pretty quick too. So I think that's definitely one of my better skills.
Yes. Now, Sarah, being the quarterback and having the ball and be able to on run plays, do you ever look at, just say, a smaller cornerback coming at you and thinking you can, either you have a choice, either run around them or put that hand out and see what they have to offer, like see what they're going to bring?
Depends on how the play develops. Such an offensive answer, right? But honestly, my favorite thing is like when they make a fool of themselves and you juke them out of their cleats and they can't even touch you because they got so wrong that you're free sailing into the end zone, right? Without even being touched.
Coach Lynch, what is the one game on the schedule that you're looking forward to? The one game you think will test your defense and the whole team?
I think this Denver game is going to be a true test. And honestly, going back to San Diego in their house is going to be a test. I don't think it'll be the test that they're expecting, but I think it's going to be the test that's going to elevate us to the next level. But to be perfectly honest with you, these are just hurdles. These are not our true focus. They're just in the way. Our what we're gearing up for is those big bad ones over there in the big state of Texas over there. They've been on our bulletin boards from day one. There's a couple of them over there we've got our eye on. But please understand we're not overlooking any opponent. But just to be perfectly honest with you, these are just hurdles. These aren't our true, we're not focusing on the hurdles, we're focusing on the goal.
Tina, during a game that say that the Falcons are blowing someone out, how do you keep your mind kind of focused, even though you're up by like 15, 20 points?
I just, I'm on the sideline with, just the other my other teammates, just making sure that their mindset is still there, that we're running through people, that we're not running at them, and just still trying to get everybody to get that game time experience, but just making sure everybody's up still. Like we can't take the, our foot off the pedal. We got to keep it on the throat. Just keep going through.
Michelle, what's the one thing about playing that has surprised you in the first couple of seasons? The one thing you didn't expect to happen?
Well, first, I won't lie, I didn't expect us to go to championship last year. Not to say we weren't good, but because it was my first year, I just was not prepared. I was like, what is going on? We got to go where? We got to do what? But on a personal note, for myself, I just did not expect to unlock something inside myself. I didn't know it was there. And this season, for sure, I will say there's been, for me personally, again, a 180, and I feel like I've tapped into something that I just didn't quite have last year.
Lacey, what's one thing with the transition to defense that you didn't expect to happen, but you are surprised about it?
I didn't expect to play linebacker, honestly, but I was so excited. I've always been, again, just because of my size, they've always just put me like, oh, go practice with corners. And I'm always on offense, so it's not really that big of a deal. But I love playing linebacker on Scout D in previous years and just was kind of like, let's try it. And then Coach D is the first one who's came along and like, why not? Let's put you there. So yeah, that, and I just didn't realize how much fun they were having. They were keeping it a secret.
Gina, with the ball in your hands and you feel like you can get the corner, can you kind of gauge if once you get the corner that no one can catch you from behind?
Yeah, for the most part, as soon as I get past our line and those edge blocks are made, for the most part, I know whether or not I'll be caught or not. But there's, again, just in women's football in general, there's a lot of good athletes, a lot of fast players. Like there's a lot of competition now. But during the play, if I can see it, usually I'll get there. There's not much stopping me once I see it.
Sarah, being a quarterback in this league, were you, when you first came to the league, were you surprised about the speed of the league, or has the speed of the teams you have played against improved?
Competition has definitely stepped up. There's always been athletes. I think the biggest thing that's elevating the women's game is great lead, like ownership by the teams, and then coaching. Because although I'm not one of them, we have a lot of former, not just on our team, but a lot of former college basketball players, track athletes, volleyball players. There's athletes there, women athletes, and it's just that eagerness of learning the game. So for me, I actually started on the defensive side of the ball. I'm part of that dark side, and transitioning to offense, starting on defense first has helped my development. The game definitely is a lot slower for me mentally in reading the option reads, when to pitch, and kind of the passing routes as well.
Tina, who's the one offensive player do you think would make a standout defender?
Sarah. I mean, Sarah already has that experience, and she is one of the best corners in the league. And so seeing her at quarterback, she's just an all-around great athlete. But let Sarah try and defend someone, she's gonna lock you up. Even though I mean, they'll probably be like, oh, this little Haitian's not gonna. She ain't gonna do nothing to me or whatever, you know. But don't judge a book by its cover, because that girl right there, she when she has her mindset on something, she's gonna get it, and she'll probably get a pick six on a receiver that's, you know,
See.
a few feet taller than her. But she knows how to work her way around.
Lacey, how does the team deal with like a longer road trip or dealing with just a road trip? What is the one activity the team does to kind of get their minds right?
So a lot of the team takes the bus, and I do think while that, you know, can be grueling, I do think that's a time where everyone kind of just gets locked in. They spend some time together and bond. But we make sure to all meet ahead of time at the hotel, and that's kind of our like, okay, let's get our minds right. Let's make sure we've taken care of everything we need to, bus that's outside of football, so that as soon as we get on the bus to go to the field, we are locked in and ready to go.
Gina, what's the one thing that you would tell a new player to the team?
I would tell a new player that to not get defeated if they're not starting, they're not getting in reps in right away. Like there's a lot of players on the team, a lot of vets who not necessarily earn their position, but the coaches already know who they are. And so I feel like for new players coming in, they kind of like shy away and have a hard time stepping up when like the vet players are practicing in positions that they've already been playing in. So I just say to like stay positive, work hard, like earn your spot. Like no one's spot is promised. Anyone can take over anyone's position at any time, and you have to prove yourself. You have to show the coaches that that's where you're supposed to be.
Coach Lynch, when you're not at practice, or you're not looking at film or football, about how do you get away from the game?
Oh, it's difficult. My business is circled around the game. My extracurricular is circled around the game. My son is getting ready to start playing. It's been something I've asked myself, how do I get away from it? I don't think I've been able to. As much as I try, I don't get very much of that downtime because of my profession and all the things that I'm attached to. But I'm an outdoorsy person. I live right here by the lake.
Ooh.
So I'll hop on my four-wheeler, take a pole, go sit by the lake by myself, and just kind of just relax for a few hours. That's kind of my only time to get some downtime to me.
Catch
So
and
I thought
keep or
she
catch
was
and
gonna say,
release.
oh, I'm sorry, Terry.
Sorry, go
I thought she was gonna say sunflower seeds and sweets.
ahead. Well, that's how I cope during. Yeah, I have to have my seeds. Keeps me from cursing.
Now, Michelle, being from New Orleans, what's the one food from home that you wish you could have more often?
Gumbo.
I might have say obviously gumbo. I can make that myself though. It's expensive, but in really all of it. I'm sorry. I just need to be able to get up and go out at 2 a.m. if I really want to and get some good food.
Po' boy or some roast beef,
Man, something.
something.
Get what? Some crawfish. I really need some crawfish. I think that's number one because I haven't had crawfish in years. I just don't trust it from anywhere else but New Orleans or Louisiana or Mississippi. Them the two places, and I can't get it. So.
I feel you about the crawfish. There has been gumbo here. I just kind of pass it up. I'm good. I'll just have this peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Lacey, what is the one food from home you miss?
Well, you don't even know where I'm from. I mean, it's Kentucky, so really it's just like anything fattening, I don't know, casseroles, mac and cheese, fried
Dirty
chicken.
pie, yes.
Exactly. But my mom actually owns a small restaurant, so honestly, just anything she cooks, I miss that quite a bit.
Now, Tina, I saw that the team had a poly plate for sale. Two questions. Why don't y'all deliver to the Midwest? And two, what's your favorite meal when you celebrate a victory?
Midwest, so the deliveries, well, not that. Delta didn't hire me, so I can't really get on the plane. But there's a lot of great restaurants out there in the Midwest. I do believe I have a lot of family out there. But for after victory meal for us, it's man, we usually like to that Terry chicken and some taro leaf or banana leaf and just put coconut milk and onions and season it and eat it with corned beef and banana and taro. Man, now I'm hungry.
Same. Sarah, what is your two questions for Sarah? What is your go-to meal? And after winning, you said 74-9, been in the playoffs, been in championship games, how do you still keep that same motivation for it?
Probably the running joke of what I eat is whatever else is on other people's plates. We usually go out to eat as a team after, and I'm usually not that hungry, but then people offer me food or I'm around and they just give it to me. But yes, Tina and I are some of the longtime Falcons. We've been playing for a long time. That's my sister there. And overall, 74-9. And what keeps us hungry is each season is its own journey. And two national championships a few years ago, we want that same experience for our sisters that we play with for today, right? We're not living off of our glory days because each season is its own challenge, and that's one unique thing about the Falcons is highly competitive team, but we bring every single person along with us.
Gina, what is your favorite celebration meal after a big game?
That's a hard one. I wouldn't say I have a specific celebration meal, but a nice beer after the game with my teammate and a good meal is definitely my go-to for sure. But anywhere we go, like Sarah said, we usually all go get food somewhere. I definitely usually have a beer at that meal.
What kind? Just don't say Budweiser. Just people just don't. Now, question for anyone who wants to jump in. Why are homes so expensive out in Utah? When did this happen?
It's the gate. That's to keep everyone out.
I see this.
COVID, everyone left the Bay Area and all those other places and came on out here.
I see that. Like homes are like they're building in places I never heard of before. I'm like, oh, because being from not from there, I'm like, oh, I know of one town, Salt Lake City or Ogden or wherever else. Tina, as someone who has played for this for a while, how much longer do you see yourself playing, and do you see yourself going into coaching when you're done playing?
Every year I keep saying that this is my last year, but I've been saying that since I was like 30, and now I'm 43. But see, these bones and this body is really killing me right now. So I really want to say that this may be my last year. I do want to go into coaching. My daughter is now playing. She's 9. She's going to be 10 this year. She started playing with the boys 2 years ago. And now she's wanting to play football, and that's all she wants to do now. But I have coached her team, but I also do want to continue with coaching the women's when I do stop playing. I want to be like a Coach D when I grow up.
No, I'll cut it out.
No.
But yeah,
No.
I do want to coach. I feel like I have a lot of knowledge and experience to bring to the other women, and just teaching them from my own experiences. I think that we're able to connect with them a little bit quicker than some of the our male coaches. But I mean, yeah, coaching is where it will be once I do retire.
Michelle, what lessons have you learned as far as being a member of the Falcons that you could kind of take and teach your own children?
So one big one is just the overall culture of our team, just literally doing good and being good and seeing that come back. Like being on the team and being around this group of people. I have Lacey housed me. I was almost homeless. Like they've seen plenty of people here. Like Tina sponsored my kids for Christmas last year. Like everybody on this call has done something for me. And my kids can see that we have a community. That's something that we have lacked. That's something we've gone through quite a bit with just having to move around and not really having the type of relationships with family that I desire to have for my children. And the Falcons gave me that. That's the number one thing that I cherish coming from this team is that they just embraced us and they treat us like we're family. My boys have a bunch of aunts and uncles now that love them as if they're their own. So,
Lacey, who's the one person when, say, things are tense to either tense during a game on the sideline that you can count on to kind of lighten the mood and make you laugh?
oh man, definitely Keisha Cox. She is one of the most fun people on the sideline. She's also an incredible athlete, but outside of the field, I just love having her on the team.
Gina, who's one person on the team that you would think would be the best cook? The one person you're like, you know what? I'm gonna go over their house. I'm gonna have a giant spread of food.
That Tina for sure. Anytime we go over there, there's definitely always food. Like, we had spaghetti. We went in carb loaded before a game and made spaghetti, and there was so much spaghetti for everybody. So I definitely.
I had French
Sir,
toast the other morning
French toast.
at
There
Tina
you go.
House.
There you go. Sarah, who
We
is
love
the
to eat.
one? Huh? Oh, go ahead.
That's what we love to eat.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Sarah, who's the one person on the team that you can look at and say that they would be good at another sport. The one person, you know what, this person would be good at something like a random sport, be it whatever, like the most natural athlete on the team, basically.
Well, being a team full of athletes is hard to pick just one.
We have a lot of those.
Yeah, we have a lot of athletes and a random sport. I'm thinking of maybe pickleball and who might be good at pickleball. And I would say Kelly Stack for some reason. She's long and lengthy, and I feel like pickleball would be her vibe.
Now, Coach Lynch, when you have coached, like, so you've coached different teams, different spots, how is it to be able to coach in a league that teams can't run from you?
That's been my hidden secret. Coming from what we're used to, where everybody can kind of duck and dodge, I'm loving the fact that we're kind of behind the scenes. That's why I've kind of just paid attention to social media, but kind of stayed away from it. Because this is what I this is why we do it. We do it to compete and figure out who the best is at our highest level. And I strongly enjoy the fact that there is no running. You must face us. And that to me makes me giggle.
It puts everybody on the same type of playing field. Now, Tina, a question to you. When you look at just basically, like you said, being a mom, being one of the most senior members on the team, what would you say is your fondest memory of playing football, not just at on this team, but any team?
Oh man, want to say, being able to go to the national championships as a team, and even though we came up short, we still came together as a team. And I think that's just the Falcons' way of is no matter how we win or we lose, we continuously still stick together. And I know that that's one thing that sets us all apart, but that moment when we all hug each other and still tell each other that, we're proud of each other and love each other, those are the moments that make everything matter. As a family unit, we went into it together and we're going to walk out together. And that for me, I mean, it's not the winning for me. It's seeing everybody and, they're putting it out on the field and leaving it there. And then at the end of the day, we know that we got some work to do and we'll get back at it.
I want to thank the ladies from the Falcons, Michelle, Gina, Lacey, Sarah, Coach. Thank you so much. Thank you all so much. Best of luck this weekend. Definitely. I mean, it's going to be definitely interesting to watch the season unfold because, like I mentioned on social media, I picked you guys, you all, to get to national championship. I'll pick the Panthers on the other side. So continue to keep making me look good.
Ooh, that's a
Yeah.
pretty good prediction.
I mean,
That's a pretty good prediction.
I know them. I know their coaching staff. I know what Coach Lynch has brought. That is the game that I want to see. And that might be the vacation game because I might have
That
to.
might be who we end up facing first or second round of the playoffs, the way it's looking.
Mean, it's
We'll
going
be
to be
waiting.
tough. It's definitely going to be tough. Thank you all so much. Best of luck. We'll definitely be keeping in touch. I'll definitely be watching. Thank you so much.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.
Thank you.